From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. A warning first this hour. The conversation we're going to have involves discussion of alleged abuse, alleged harassment, some difficult themes. So just know that at the outset here. Our connection was made last September in Rochester when a house party turned violent. One of the party attendees pulled out a gun and started shooting. Two people were killed, at least 14 were wounded, and it happened at the home of LaKaya Sinclair, 19 years old at the time, a woman from Rochester. As you might imagine, she was badly shaken by what happened, and she turned to multiple people for help. One was a county legislator, Ernest Flagler Mitchell, who offered to help her. But as Sinclair later detailed publicly, Flagler Mitchell did not help. He pursued her sexually. After Flagler Mitchell began to make personal comments about her appearance on Facebook posts, the legislator sent her a series of messages through Facebook Messenger. One morning, the legislator appeared to be referencing masturbation. Later, he sent a photo of male genitalia. LaKaya said she was stunned, confused, and disturbed. She did not indicate that she was pleased or interested. Flagler Mitchell responded by claiming he meant to send the photo to his wife and then requested that the thread be deleted. He has not apologized. LaKaya Sinclair was a teenaged woman looking for help as she dealt with the trauma of a mass shooting. And now she was someone who felt victimized by a legislator who had promised help. As she later found out, she was not the only woman in the situation. The Monroe County District Attorney's Office investigated and discovered that at least 11 women have had similar interactions with Flagler Mitchell. Those women did not want to pursue any further legal action. They prefer to remain anonymous, and so the DA's office handed this matter over to the Monroe County Ethics Board, which released its own conclusions just days ago. The Ethics Board determined that Flagler Mitchell's claim that he meant to send that photo to his wife is not credible. The board used stern language, but ultimately the board does not have the power to remove or even censure the legislator. So last night, some county Democrats called for a vote to censure Flagler Mitchell and remove him from his committee assignments at least. Their vote failed. All Republicans voted against it, as did the Democrats who remain loyal to Ernest Flagler Mitchell. In a statement, Democrat Vince Felder says that this entire matter is politically motivated and filled with lies. He claimed that when Flagler Mitchell sent the nude photo, it was a case of two consenting adults engaging in a private matter. He defended his colleague and attacked those who have called for Flagler Mitchell to resign. Well, here's what we know. We know that Ernest Flagler Mitchell did send that photo to LaKaya Sinclair. We know that at least 11 other women have told investigators they had similar experiences. And we know that Flagler Mitchell and his political allies still do not think he has done anything wrong. Now we have the DA's report to the Ethics Board. More than 50 pages and a report that is stunning in many ways that details some of the other allegations. We'll have information on that in just a moment. Flagler Mitchell has declined all media requests since Sinclair's allegations surfaced. If he changes his mind, I have to be honest now, we will consider talking to him. In the interest of fairness, we always want to do that. But in many ways, he has already confirmed what LaKaya Sinclair has said. And today, we welcome LaKaya Sinclair to Connections for the first time. I told you before the hour began, I wish it was under different circumstances that you were here. But I admire your courage, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Jeremy Moll is with us. He's a reporter for City Magazine. And Jeremy has had a chance to start to sift through this report that, based on a Freedom of Information request, just hit our inboxes this morning. What are some of the things we are learning that the DA's office investigation produced and was shared with the Ethics Board?
Sure. So what this report is, it is a collection of some reports compiled from interviews with various subjects, they call them. These would be the 11 women that you just referenced. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice handy summary to all of it on the first page. And this is one of the conclusions that that is contained in the summary. It's the first line, and I think it's telling. Based on the information obtained from our investigation into this matter, it is apparent Ernest Flagler Mitchell used his standing in the community as a pastor, Rochester fireman, or as a county legislator to continually seek out women on various social media platforms. Then goes on to explain that in many cases he would contact the woman, he would try and engage them in conversation, and if the woman engaged, he would then shift it to flirting or talking about sexually related topics. And it just kind of closes out by saying that It was also learned Flagler Mitchell was very persistent with the women he met. As many related, it was very difficult for them to end their communications with him concerning his pursuit of having sexual relations with them. It notes that many of the women didn't want to come forward for various reasons.
A couple of things here that I want to make sure that we understand as clearly as we can, knowing that we're still sort of sifting through all the details. And even in the last 90 minutes, I've been trying to read as much of this as I can. The DA's office determined that based on their investigations, but also it seems to me, based on the fact that these women, understandably so, want to remain anonymous, that there is not evidence of a crime here.
Right.
Right?
Right. The district attorney's office did say that they found no criminal activity.
Okay. Now, for listeners who may view this the way that, for example, Vince Felder put it, one of Ernest Flagler's allies politically, also a county Democrat. The reason these accounts matter is what Jeremy just mentioned, and I want to put a fine point on this. A legislator and a pastor and a firefighter using that standing in the community to pursue sex or sexual relationships with people who were vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair description?
That's the description that the report makes.
These are not, hey, you know, and I'm not even making a comment on the fact that Ernest Flagler Mitchell is married, and that's his business, but this is not, from the appearance of it, all consensual activity. From what I'm reading, Jeremy, some women described the activity as consensual, some did not. Some said it was consensual at first and then they wanted it to stop. Some said that they continued at least sexting, in their words, mm-hmm. with him because he offered to pay for groceries, to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
7 out of 11 told investigators they received pictures similar to what Lacayus and Claire is going to tell us about. 3 out of 11 said they had sex with him. 1 said they had sex with him while he was on duty as a firefighter, while he was working a shift. So that's why these things matter. We're talking about mm-hmm. possible abuse of power here.
Yes.
It's a strong. So anyway, I want to underscore that. As you continue to go about your work this afternoon reading, what sort of outstanding questions do you still have here, Jeremy?
Well, I don't know about outstanding questions, but one thing that really struck me reading through the different accounts is how they are different, but there are also patterns. Like, and this is what the district attorney's office was noting on that introductory page. This just is something that has been going on for a while.
And on the subject of the commission of a crime, I'm not an expert in the law on these matters, but I still have serious questions about whether a crime could have been committed here. If you are telling someone who can't afford groceries, "I'll buy your groceries for sex," I don't know offhand, and I guess I need to consult with lawyers, but I have some serious questions about that allegation.
Yes, I do too, and I'm like you, I'm not a lawyer. I maybe wonder if it was just because that was a person who didn't want to go on the record and
sure.
testify or mm-hmm. press charges.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, anything I would say would be total speculation.
Okay. Lastly, and then I'll let you get back to work, and I appreciate you being here, Jeremy. He is running for re-election. Ernest Flagler Mitchell is running for re-election. He is on the ballot, and he is in a primary, a Democratic primary, on June 22nd. It's not a race that we've covered on this program, but my understanding is that, at least so far, there's no intention that he seeks not to run or not to pursue the office anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the ballot one way or another. And I don't know if, I'll just leave it there. He's on the ballot.
but he hasn't put out a statement saying, "Look, due to these allegations, I don't intend to have this job anymore."
Yeah, I've seen no such thing.
Okay. I lied. One more. Last night, some county Democrats and the legislature did seek to at least censure and remove him from his committee assignments. Because of the current structure of county ethics and the law, there doesn't appear to be a mechanism in place for them to just remove him over this, but they wanted to at least censure and pull him off committee assignments. That did not work, correct?
Correct. I think there is a question that voters should be asking right now as they watch everything that's happening in the legislature. Do they like what they're seeing? Do they feel that there's any level of dysfunction in the legislature? And is this an example?
Yeah, what happened last night was there's obviously Republicans and Democrats that often vote as a bloc, but what's happening now is you have all 15 Republicans who are voting as a bloc, and they are joined by a group of Democrats, including Ernest Flagler Mitchell, mm-hmm. who tend to vote with them on issues, and they all voted together. It was only the regular Democratic caucus that voted to censure, mm-hmm. and they didn't have enough votes.
Correct. And it's worth noting that Ernest Flagler Mitchell is the leader of the Black and Asian Caucus, which is the group you just referenced.
He's also close with Mayor Lovely Warren. Have we seen anything from the mayor about this?
I haven't.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy Moll, City Magazine, Rochester City News. Please follow along for their outstanding coverage, and I'll let you go. Yeah,
and thank you for having us. And I just want to note that City will be posting the full report along with the story as soon as we can.
Thank you. The website for people to find that?
RochesterCityNewspaper.com or RockCityNews.org.
Okay. That's a great point from Jeremy. You want to read the full report, and I know there's a lot there, and it can be tough to read, but if you want to see it in full and not just digest 10-second sound bites, that's the place for it. Thanks again, Jeremy.
Thank you, Evan.
Lakeia Sinclair is with us, and Lakeia is the only woman who has chosen to publicly identify herself as one of the accusers. And in fact, it is Lakeia's first allegation against Ernest Flagler Mitchell that has led to this cascade. Before we even talk about what happened, how are you?
I am as good as I can be. This is hard. This is overwhelming. I myself just found out about this DA's report, so I'm trying to soak that in as well. But yeah, like I said, I'm as good as I can be. I'm just trying to get through this.
You're 20 years old now.
Yes.
You were 19 last summer. And what my understanding is what led to your meeting the legislator was the mass shooting in September that
yes.
happened at your home.
Yes.
I don't want to bring you back and traumatize you. I know that was a traumatizing event for the entire community. Does that still affect you today, what, 9 months later?
9 months later, and I have not been able to properly grieve that situation. Ernest Flagler started inappropriately messaging me soon after, like in October to November, and November is when I received the picture. So it was definitely just one thing to another. So no, I have not been able to grieve that. Until, you know, interviews and such like this when they bring it up and it's like, oh, wow, like that's a big thing that just happened in my life as well while I've been blinded by this.
Mm-hmm. What was it that first put you in touch with Ernest Flagler Mitchell?
There was a community event held at the park down the street from my home. Him and multiple other elected officials, community leaders were there. A bunch of gospel music going on, giveaway to the kids. Good vibes. And that's where he and multiple others represented themselves in, hey, this is my card. I'm so-and-so. Please reach out to me if you ever need any help. And that's the first and the last time I ever met Mr. Mitchell in person.
In person. Mm-hmm. So he gives you his card. There's a lot of people exchanging contacts. Did you know who he was before that day?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And can I also say, I did not know exactly what or who a county legislator is mm-hmm. and what their duties entail. I just knew it sounded kind of fancy. I'm like, okay, I need help getting back to school. Maybe that's somebody who can help me, right? He's a part of the county. So no, I did not know who he was, and I did not even know, you know, his title until here we are.
Mm-hmm. One of the claims that Vince Felder has made is that technically Ernest Flagler Mitchell was not your county legislator based on your address, that Vince Felder himself was, and therefore Ernest Flagler Mitchell could not have abused his power to pursue you because he wasn't your legislator. Does that make sense to you?
Not at all. It doesn't make any sense. he literally introduced himself. I am your county legislator. I still have his county legislator card. So he was offering his help to me in that capacity. Therefore, yes, that was on county time and such. And then for Felder to say, oh, he was my county legislator, Mr. Felder, thank you for your support, wherever that's been. Your comment, which I've just found out about, is ridiculous. Like, in the same sentence, you said you were my county legislator, but yet has done nothing to support me or for me. And in that same sentence, still supports him and his actions. So I don't have much to say. That doesn't make sense as a statement.
Now, after that day, when you first met Ernest Flagler Mitchell and you had his card, you know, you're thinking about school. You're thinking about your career. You know, you do a number of things and work a number of jobs and have certain visions for what you'd like to do. You're trying to deal with the trauma of the mass shooting. When did you first get in touch with legislator Flagler Mitchell after that?
After that, he found me on Facebook.
He reached out to you?
Yeah. Yes. Reached out to me with the ad on Facebook. And then that's where, in my head, I thought I was taking my own initiative to, like, okay, Lakea, this tragedy just happened. You know, frankly, I'm already a broke student, basically. But, you know, it left me... I was facing homelessness, you know, like we sold the house. There was, what was I going to do, you know? Anyway, me reaching out to him first, he sent the ad first. I reached out to him first, like, hey, if you have any speakings, I see him a lot on radio shows. Can I be there as your photographer?
Because you're a photographer.
Yes, I am. Photographer and getting into videography as well. And you know, I have a big interest in politics, took criminal justice at MCC, but, you know, it was already my interest, like, okay, politics, and then I can come in with my photography. But yeah, that was me initially reaching out to him for the first time.
So he friends you, you accept, and then you say, hey, cool, you know, I do photography, that's the career I'm trying to build, I see you do some events, I'd be happy to do some work for you. What does he say?
He says, yes, and I have a project for you.
Wait, did this all happen this fast, or was there sort of any other interaction that was happening over those days?
This happened within 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
Right? And in the 24th is the day I received the picture and received the comment of masturbation.
Before, so jumping ahead to November, right?
Right. November, if you wanted to fill in that, a week or two gap, of him reacting to my photos with heart eyes, you know, hearts. That is inappropriate in his standing. I did not pay much mind to it because of their reactions.
Okay, so in other words, you're posting photos on Facebook.
Right.
Of your work?
No, of myself.
Of just yourself?
Yep.
Okay, just personal shots.
Yes.
And he's posting heart eyes and reacting in ways that indicate, you know, some sort of, almost seems like a little flirtation.
Yes.
Or approval. And you're already thinking, well, this is a little weird, or you were thinking.
Yes.
That. Yeah.
Yes. I definitely brought that to my partner as well. Like, this is kind of weird. You know, how do I respond to this? And when I wouldn't respond to it, I'd just kind of leave it on scene. He'll be like, you're very beautiful. Little things like that.
Okay. So he's commenting on your appearance, but at the time, that was the extent of it. And then, did all of this happen on one morning that led
yes.
to the picture? It did. Okay. So he reaches out to you over Facebook Messenger.
Facebook Messenger.
One morning in November. And tells you he has a project for you?
Yes.
Okay. But before then, from what I've read of the messages, this is where, again, I know this can be hard for people to hear, and this is not... Listeners, I just want to keep saying, I mean, this stuff is difficult to hear and talk about. And also, if you got kids around, understand this may not be the most appropriate. But there is a reference that he makes that seems pretty clearly referencing masturbation. Is that how you took it?
Initially, no, not at all. Initially, I took it, I remember the message saying, I'm up doing self-love. I took it as, oh, cool, he has a cool morning routine, spiritual routine. You know, I like to meditate in the morning with my coffee, you know, self-love. I'm thinking he's having a good day. Okay. I honestly thought that was the intention of that comment, like I'm up doing self-love, a good morning.
Okay.
Until the DA themselves, when they were like, no, ma'am, that's not his comment and that's not what he meant. And I'm pretty sure every man knows what that comment meant. And so, no, initially I did not think that comment was inappropriate until just a few messages after. Then I'm like, okay, now this is inappropriate and this is very weird.
Because he asked you if he said he had a project for you.
Yes.
And he asked you if you wanted to see it.
Yes.
And you said yes.
Yes.
And he sends you a picture of male genitalia.
Yes.
What?
Just like that.
What goes through your mind?
Initially, I opened my phone and I just closed it. I was just like, well, is that the project he meant to send to me? You know, again, it's three messages. Hey, I have a project for you. What is it? Do you want to see it? My response was yes, and it's a dick pic. Excuse my language. I didn't know how to respond until even after the photo, it's tell me what you think. Tell me if you like it. And those are the messages he deleted on his end.
So he, after he sends that photo, he says, tell me what you think.
Yes.
Tell me if you like it.
And that part made me gag. In the moment, I felt so sick to my stomach. I'm now 20 years old. No man has ever disrespected me like that, ever. That's just very out of line. What do you mean, how I feel? What do I think? You know, like, and then again, assuming that he's having a project, I'm totally thinking it's maybe for his campaign as a legislator.
Sure, you thought it was a photo project or a project you could work with him.
Yep. And that wasn't the project he wanted.
What do you see? This is a really vulnerable, difficult moment. And we've talked to sort of the experts over the years from so many of the wonderful organizations locally that work with people who've been through this, because, you know, he's still a powerful person in the community. I don't know how you sort of manage to say what you like. What did you say? And what's going through your mind on how to respond? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I almost didn't come out with it because at first I was like, you know, all right, whatever. That was totally the wrong way to handle it, right? Push it to the side. And then that same week, because I believe the photo was, I know it was November 24th. I can't remember the day, but I remember that same weekend he was doing a bunch of radio shows. And I just felt very disrespected to see this man who has violated me just gleefully live his life, you know, speaking on politics, speaking on faith. And it's like, that's not what you showed me. Like, and like I said, I didn't know what his position held. And I'm like, wow, wait, this is what this man does. Like, you know, as I consulted with other people, they were like, oh, yeah. Flagler is a creep. Ernest Mitchell's, he sometimes has inappropriate comments, and other women I was speaking to, yeah, he's made me feel uncomfortable. And frankly, these are people in power, some of these people who I've gotten these opinions from. And so I sat there with all these opinions and I'm like, wait, so everybody knows this guy is a creep and nobody said anything? And that's where we get into politics, right? Because those are accusations, you know, they're just accusations as of now. And that's where I felt like, all right, this is a pattern. You know I didn't do anything wrong. And that took me a long time. I still almost feel like I did something wrong, questioning myself. But that's where I just had to be like, you know, at the day, what he did was wrong. On his county time, extending his legislative help. I really just wanted to go to an HR or a boss, you know, like, I don't know. And I didn't know it was going to blow up into this big thing either.
Wow. Now, You know, Lakea, we had a conversation with Mary Whittier from Resolve recently, and Mary, along with Megan Chateauvieux from Willow, they spoke poignantly about the way people can be made to feel like they did something wrong, or they question themselves. And what you're going through, in my understanding, is it's sadly common. But have you found some peace with it, that you did not do anything wrong? Or do you still have moments where you ask yourself if you did?
Definitely still have a lot of moments. I've been being cyberbullied a lot. So, you know, by older people as well. So it's kind of like, geez, did I do something wrong? Like, still to this day, as I'm speaking out about it, am I even wrong for speaking out about it? You know,
people are bullying you?
Oh, yes.
Like on
Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, bunch of cyberbullying.
Are they usually anonymous, or are they not anonymous when they do that?
A little bit of both. Yeah, some are anonymous. And then if you know Twitter, Twitter starts a war.
Boy, yeah, it sure does.
So
it certainly can. I don't want to go too deep with it, but generally, I don't think I fully understand. Are they blaming you? Or are they saying that you're lying? I mean, like, are they saying you're lying? Or what are you hearing?
A lot of that, I'm lying. A 15 minutes of fame, that I'm a pawn used by other political parties to bring Flagler down. All very untrue. And again, I know that, but it is hard, you know? Thankfully, I can say throughout high school, I never dealt with bullying or cyberbullying. You know, we've all seen it in the news. I've never experienced that. And I've been bullied in saying that I'm lying and such. So it's been tough.
So you're 20. It wasn't that long ago you were in school. And right. All of the warnings about cyberbullying, social media attacks, you never dealt with that as a kid. You're an adult now. And it's other adults who are doing that.
Yes.
After Ernest Flagler Mitchell admitted he sent you that photo. He doesn't deny sending the photo.
No.
He says it was meant for his wife. Mm-hmm. And he also says it wasn't his own genitalia.
Which is even weirder. I don't understand how a picture meant for your wife isn't your own, but to each its own, I guess.
Do you believe that?
Not at all.
What is it, your understanding or your thoughts about what he was trying to do with that picture?
I think you know, he just thought I was sweet. That's a proper way to put it. He thought I was sweet, maybe. And again, this is a pattern for this man, proven by the ethics board and the DA's office. This is a pattern for this man. So clearly, you know, what I think he thought was, oh, it's a young girl in need. She needs something that I can most likely give her. What can I get from her? And I'm not that kind of girl. And I know how I carry myself. I'm very confident, but I'm also very well respected. You know, I am still very young, but I've worked on security teams. You know, I've been in management for so long. And just saying that again, I've never, ever been so disrespected or violated by a man, because I know how I carry myself.
Do you respond to the Twitter and social media trolls who are harassing you?
Not at all. No,
I
haven't.
You ignore it, but you say it still hurts a little. You hear it.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, Snapchat's a bit more intimate. Mm-hmm. So then I get some of those kind of hurt, because you have to open them, right, anyway to see it. So those kind of hurt. But no, I haven't responded.
Okay. He asked you to delete that thread.
Yes.
Did he ever apologize then or since?
In the message, he did say he apologizes, that this would never happen again, and that he is shutting down his inbox.
As in, I'll never accidentally send you something meant for my wife. Not like, look, I did something that I shouldn't have done here.
Right.
And it was a mistake, and I want to acknowledge that.
Right.
Talking to Lakea Sinclair, who is to this date, so far, the only woman who has publicly come out and made allegations against Ernest Flagler Mitchell, though the DA's office issued a report to the Ethics Board, the County Ethics Board, of which we have a copy now, and you can find on Rochester City News, and I believe WXXINews.org will have it as well if you want to read it. It includes allegations from 11 women. Lakay, you understand why they wanted to remain anonymous, those 11 women?
100%. 100%. This has been hard, you know? A mass shooting took place at my home where people lost their lives, and I hate to say it in that way, but this has hurt more. This has been dragged out. I've been dragged through the mud. And most of these women are anonymous, but so far I can tell I'm one of the youngest. God forbid I am not. It sucks. Like I said, it comes with bullying, you know. Your comment earlier when we started, which I appreciated, that, you know, hopefully this doesn't define me, but I'm only 20 years old. I'm the girl who threw the party and the girl who received a dick pic from her legislator. You know, this has consumed this past year of my life and probably is going to continue so for a little bit. It sucks, you know?
Well, interestingly, you have known the mayor for a good amount of time, right?
Yes, I have.
So Mayor Lovely Warren has been very close politically with Ernest Flagler Mitchell for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the mayor. When did you first meet the mayor?
I met the mayor, should have been my sophomore year of high school.
You were maybe, what, 15, 16?
15, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably 14 or 15 when I met her, and we established a relationship. Throughout high school, I was lucky enough to work under Chris Goodnews, one of the best photographers in the city, who is considered like one of Mayor Lovely's photographers. With interning with him, you know, I was at every event he's done, including the mayor's ball, a lot of her campaign photos. You can find my name right under them as, you know, an intern. I've been able to work with Lovely. She's supported me in high school, right?
And you worked the mayor's ball.
I do.
What was that experience like?
It was great, you know? I was very young. And again, I always had an interest into government. You know, I took criminal justice. So for me, it was always photography and politics almost, right? And so I've been around it a lot throughout high school. It was fun, great experience, great networking. The mayor ball specifically is what taught me networking, right? You know, it's a big room full of big people. You get out there, you make yourself known. The mayor ball was good. She's definitely, back in high school, working with her, it gave me a lot of opportunity, right? And I was just hoping to expand that now that I'm a bit older, but it's not been working out.
Well, and so you had that opportunity. You met the mayor personally. It's someone that you felt like, you know, you at least knew a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor herself has talked about the importance of not allowing a society in which black men hold black women down. She said that during this campaign, her own campaign for mayor now. Did you expect, given that she is such an influential figure in Rochester, such an influential figure in politics, and someone who knows Ernest Flagler Mitchell well, did you expect this is a chance to maybe set this right? I know the mayor. Did you think that she would talk to you, would step forward on this?
100%. And I am sad to say that she has not reached out to me in any capacity since this story's been out. I can say that after the shooting at my home, she was one of the first people knocking on my door to give her condolences and her support, which I didn't receive later from that either. And I have not heard a peep from Mayor Lovely throughout this, so I am very disappointed. Bit sad, because I looked up to her. You know, she wasn't just Mayor Lovely to me. She was somebody that I really looked up to. But, yeah, I have not had her support throughout this.
Is it possible she's going through a lot?
For sure.
She's in a reelection campaign. There's been a lot of things happening in her career and in her life. Is it possible that she hasn't had the time, but maybe that you can, that door will still open?
Well, I won't be opening any doors, but no, you know, well past where she could have helped. Yeah, it's definitely too late. You know, it's too late. I'm pretty sure you've been new about it. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have been new about it. They knew exactly who I was. My name's been out there for the party and for this. You knew exactly who I was. And it looks like since it didn't benefit her that I did not receive any support, but I don't want to sound like I'm attacking her either. You know, we're all people at the end of the day. We all make mistakes. We all go through things. She's definitely going through a bunch. But again, I just have to say I am very disappointed that I haven't heard anything from her in terms of support.
I mentioned legislator Vince Felder, who has said that this entire thing is a cooked up political attack against Ernest Flagler Mitchell. I will just doing journalistic due diligence here. Have you, I don't know how, I actually, I can, I'm struggling to figure out how this would be a political conspiracy.
Me too.
You've got a Republican DA, Sandra Dorley, she would have to be in on it. You have yourself, you'd have to be in on it. There's a lot of people from London who'd have to be in on it. And the legislator has not denied sending you the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But have you felt manipulated by political opponents of Ernest Flagler Mitchell?
No, not at all. My circle throughout this has been very small, right? And those I consult with, it's been very small and tight. And not political at all. For this to be political, it would have to come. I would have to be being used as the pawn. Nobody's using me. And, you know, that I feel like that was just his only escape. Oh, it was political. How, sir? How? What power do I have? What happened to you that, or, you know, all the, his dirty laundry just been aired out by the DA on an 11-page report. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's political. It's political to you because you have something to hide. You know, that has nothing to do with me. My sole reason in coming out was because I was violated, because Ernest Flagler Mitchell violated me. He disrespected me. Even when I first came out with this, all I asked for was an apology, a why, and his resignation. You don't deserve that power, you know? And yeah, so this all this political BS, I apologize again, it's ridiculous, you know?
Well, what have you learned about politics through all of this?
It's a slippery slope. It's very drama. Can I say, like, I feel like I've been thrown into politics, right? I'm not political. I'm not a political figure. But it's like I've been thrown into politics, and politics sucks, right? That's why people don't like to talk about politics, because it's never, I feel like personally, politics should be about people, your community. And oh my gosh, dude, politicians are just a bunch of high schoolers and cliques and groupies. And that's been my viewpoint on politics right now. People form cliques. They stay with those cliques, and people like to stay in power. Like, they don't want to give up their seat and doing things for their community. Mr. Flagler, being a prime example, frankly, hasn't done much as a legislator. Now that I've been doing my research, you know, on legislators and their position themselves, hasn't even done much. He's been in his seat for a while now. For what? Right? Like, nothing's being done by you, so why are you still in power? Why are people still voting for, you know, these horrible, horrible elected officials?
Okay, well, let me move on from that, and let's talk about what you want to see happen next year. Because,
yeah.
And I also want to point out something about what Lakeia did. The first time the community really heard Lakeia Sinclair speak at length was just a few days ago when you came out and you did a short news conference.
Mm-hmm.
And you read a statement that you wrote, put together in your own words.
Yes.
And you weren't there to take questions. You were there to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
How has this impacted you? What do you want the community to think about? And essentially your voice, which has often been absent, was finally heard there. What a lot of people noticed, Lakeia, is you didn't ask political figures to stand with you.
No.
You could have. You could have probably had a lot of people standing with you. And I know there are, despite all the trolls and the abuse, there's a lot of love and support for you in
yes.
this community. But you chose to stand alone that day. Why?
Well, first and foremost, frankly, I've went through this ordeal on my own. No political parties have supported me. They may have supported the cause and what I just exposed, but I didn't feel support for me. So just me, I'm used to standing on my own. I'm used to doing things by myself. And that's, you know, everybody has this perception of me, I feel like, which is just being a pawn. She's a pawn, right? I felt like I had to make it clear that I am not. I did this on my own. I will continue to do it on my own and stand alone. 11 women, and they're all scared to come forward, you know? I'm not. Again, I like to think I have, you know, a good amount of confidence, but one thing about me, I won't be bullied. And after he did what he did and continued to lie, now you're just slandering my name on purpose. You know what you did. The community knows what you did. You've continued to purposely lie on me. It's ridiculous.
I was really moved by seeing you stand up alone.
Thank you. Yeah, and I will continue to do so. Again, that this, you know, this kind of goes into that Me Too movement where women, almost every woman I know, almost every woman out in the world has been sexually assaulted in one way or another. And it just gets so overlooked and it gets put on the woman, you know. And I was 19 when it happened. That's as young as a young woman can get, I feel like. I am as young as a young woman can get. Imagine if that was your 19-year-old daughter, your 19-year-old sister, and she's like, Dad, big brother, this creepy old 50-year-old dude just sent me a picture
yeah.
and has been very inappropriate with me, and he's a man of power. What do I do? Who can I go to? It's kind of birds there, because who can I go to? There's nobody I can really go to, right? In terms of who's this man's boss or something. So, you know, just again, if it was your 19-year-old, do you really consider her a woman, right? You know, I'm not trying to downgrade myself, but throughout this, I felt like a child. I had nobody there for me, you know, like, there's an old creepy guy making me feel so scared. What do I do? Who can I go to? And the community, though I've had a lot of love and support, I don't feel safe. That was a big part of me asking for his resignation. I do not feel safe around this man. God forbid I did work with this man. What would happen to me then? So.
I want to share some feedback.
Yes.
And there's a lot of really, I think, supportive comments. Leah writes to say, I guess he picked the wrong victim this time, someone who clearly knows what's proper behavior and is strong enough to keep her balance when faced with such raw corruption. Kudos to your guest. I'm sure it hasn't been easy. Peter wants to compliment you for going through what you did and having to endure this and doing it with such grace, so powerful and eloquent, more so than others in politics. You're a stand-up citizen. That's from Peter. This is Shirley from Rochester on the phone. Hi, Shirley. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to commend this young woman for standing up for herself publicly. And I want to let you know that as someone who served for 8 years on the school board, I understand why the other women aren't coming forward, because this city has a history of making people pay when they go against the grain. I experienced something similar. It wasn't sexual harassment, but I went against the grain when I was in politics. And I was told straight up that you are now damaged goods. And so I understand why people are reluctant to step up, because it could affect their livelihood, could affect them, their families. So my hat is off to you. I want you to know that you're speaking for a lot of women and providing a lot of courage to people who otherwise might not be brave enough to step up and reveal what's going on in this community. And at some point I'll reach out to you, so that if I can ever be of any support to you, I'd like to be that. And I just want to thank you.
I want to thank you. Thank you.
Shirley, what's the way to change this system that I think, you know, we go through this, it's almost like we refer to an era. We're in the Me Too era and things are supposed to be changing. What is actually going to change things?
I think when we begin to replace some of the folks who are currently in positions of power, because you're absolutely right, young lady, it's about power and retaining power. And when we begin to root out the power mongers who are steeped in this culture of retaliation and exclusion, then I think we have some hope for the community. But we can't keep doing business as usual and expect a different outcome.
Shirley, thank you for the insight and for the service. Shirley Thompson from Rochester, former board member. Thank you for making the call.
Thank you.
That is Shirley Thompson. Deborah writes to say, this has taken courage, and we all benefit from Lakea's courage. Sheila says, please let Ms. Sinclair know there are many people who admire her courage. She is a hero. Carrie says, I'm so impressed by Ms. Sinclair and so disgusted. The legislator should resign. Nancy says, I have a 20-year-old granddaughter. Lakea is so well-spoken. She has a bright future. I know this was a horrible thing. She is so brave to talk about it. Bridget, I am so impressed by this dignified young woman. On and on it goes in the feedback. Just a lot of admiration for your courage. Just wanted you to hear that. And again, I'll say to listeners, sort of in the interest of fairness, I mean, when Lakea Sinclair first came forward, and kudos to our colleagues at the Democrat and Chronicle, who put together, I think, some really thorough reporting and talked to her initially. You know, we wanted to understand. We wanted to talk to Ernest Flagler Mitchell. We always want to better understand stories. We are at the point now where we've got testimony from 11 women, one publicly, but 11 women, a DA's report, an ethics board ruling. But here we are, Lakea Sinclair, with an ethics board that doesn't have a lot of power.
Mm-mm.
And there isn't really a mechanism for ethics to be sort of enforced. What do you want to see happen?
Reform on the reform, because I know there was just recently a legislative put out for ethics reform, which would give him a censure?
A censure, yeah.
Yes. And that's
it's like a harsh talking to.
Right. Yeah. And that's not enough. I feel like it should be so plain and simple that if you are not an example of what you... If our elected officials are not an example of what we want our community to be, they should not be an elected official, plain and simple. We have to worry about this man sexually harassing young women, any woman, in the same sense of abusing his power. Plain and simple, he shouldn't be in power. That's what we need to see. We need to see our fellow politicians and elected officials speak on it. That's another big thing I've personally seen in politics right now, is everybody's scared to speak because everything turns into allegations or slander. And sometimes it is, but for the most part, you're elected because you're our voice. You need to use your voice. You need to speak on, you know, whether you agree or don't agree, speak your truth, you know, speak your opinions. I think elected officials get scared in giving their opinions on things because they want to remain cordial with parties but still get the vote to their people. It can't be working like that. It genuinely has to be some people running for these official positions, people who genuinely want to do for their community, people who have a good moral and ethics standing. It sounds like a lot maybe for one person, but frankly, you are choosing to be in that position. So you have to deal with everything that comes with it, mm-hmm. which is as easy as just being a good person, you know, caring for others in that position. So, yeah, it's pretty simple. We just need to get some people out and put in some new people.
Down to our last minute, some listeners telling us that your courage to speak about this publicly has given them hope. Does anything give you hope right now?
No. I am so thankful for the love and support from all these comments that even you've just read. And I feel it. I feel that love and support from many strangers across the community. But I have no hope that anything's going to be done. No, I think he's on the ballot. He might win again, you know, God forbid. And no one, including our mayor, including other elected officials, are going to speak out about it until those people are out of their seats. We need new people in legislative and elected officials. Nothing's going to change.
I said from the start that if somehow I had misunderstood everything that had happened, or if this was a huge misunderstanding, we had given space for people like Ernest Flagler Mitchell to explain. He has chosen not to speak about it. I will say, Lakeia Sinclair, I am grateful for your time and trust with the program to talk about it.
Thank you.
You've clearly inspired a lot of people. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
That's Lakeia Sinclair. More on WXXINews.org and Rochester City Newspaper and City Magazine Online will have full coverage as well. Rob Braden is the engineer. And from Emma Ray Stein, Megan Mack, Evan Dawson, have a nice afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.